Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the bread of life, the bread sent by God from heaven, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from John chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 through 35. And as you can see in the text, this takes place the day after Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So they said to him, "What should we do to carry out the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Then they asked him, "So what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said to him, "give us this bread all the time." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been on a low-carb diet? The type of diet where you have to cut down on eating carbohydrates, that is starches and sugars, etc. And they encourage you to eat more protein and more fiber. Well, one of the items they require you to cut out, or at least cut way back on, is bread. If you're going to follow a low-carb diet, you're probably going to have to cut out a lot or all of your bread. Well, if you've ever tried that type of diet before, you probably know that especially in the first few days, in the early parts of this diet, you are going to experience likely some pretty severe bread cravings. Our bodies get used to eating the yeast and the sugars found in bread and other foods so that when we take that away, our bodies actually crave it like a drug. It can be a very difficult thing to get through. A number of years ago, I actually tried this diet for a while, and I was only able to make it for a few weeks. I lost some weight. I thought I was following it pretty well, but I could barely think. I was getting very dizzy and just very, very fatigued. I got up in the pulpit one Sunday and I could barely remember what I was going to say. And I thought, okay, it's time to stop and go back to what I was eating before. I just couldn't do it. I remember talking to one of my sisters and telling her that I was trying this kind of diet, and she said, "Nope, not me. I'd rather die than not eat bread." Well, maybe you wouldn't go that far, but I'm sure many of us share that same love of eating bread. Well, does our craving for physical bread match our craving for spiritual bread? Do you have bread cravings for the bread of life, Jesus Christ? Or what do we crave more, feeding our bellies or feeding our souls? The people of our text for today probably would not have done too well on a low-carb, bread-free diet. Their craving for physical bread was just about out of control. When they found Jesus after he had fed the 5,000 men, that's just counting the men, remember, this may have been many more people than 5,000 that he fed. When he fed these people with just 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish, it's obvious they weren't seeking him to have their souls fed and wanting him to teach them again. But rather, Jesus tells them what was really in their hearts. He says, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." What's even worse is that these people had just witnessed this incredible miracle, the miraculous feeding of thousands of people, and yet what do they say? They still demand a miraculous sign from Jesus. They asked him, so what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? You mean besides the feeding of the thousands of people with five loaves of bread and two small fish? They were still demanding a sign. That illustrates for us the tragedy of unbelief. It illustrates for us the danger of turning Jesus into simply our bread king. We'll simply never be satisfied. The unbelieving heart's demand for more proof will never be satisfied. It will never be met, no matter how many miracles it witnesses. And the heart that seeks Jesus for simply earthly reasons or solely for earthly reasons, that belly will never be filled. And that's why Jesus instructed the people who had gathered around him. He tells them these words. He says, "Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Think back to our Old Testament reading that is referenced in this section of John. Even if God were to send manna from heaven, like he did for the children of Israel, if he was to give us bread directly from heaven, like the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness, those people would still have to eat again. They'd get hungry again. They would need to eat over and over. That bread, as the Lord said, was temporary. In fact, he saw to it that that bread would spoil after one day. That bread could preserve life, but it couldn't give it. It couldn't create it. In contrast, what does Jesus say about the bread of life? He says this, "My Father gives you real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven, and it gives life to the world." And the people's response does at first sound pretty good, doesn't it? They say, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." But as we read on in this chapter, we find out that they were just thinking still about physical bread. The thought of never growing hungry again. What a great blessing that would be. Just feed us all the time, Lord, and we'll never have to go physically hungry. And so Jesus has to make it clear to them that he was speaking of spiritual life that only he can give. Verse 35 of our text, he says, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." So are we as misguided as the people in our text? Do we view the physical and material things that God blesses us with as the ultimate blessings from God, the ones that we desire the most? Do we only have physical bread cravings? Jesus reminds us in our text, "Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of God, the Son of Man, will give you." Jesus put this idea, this thought, in another way in the Gospel of Matthew, when he said, "Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is our heart? Where is our heart set? Is it on earthly bread, earthly and material things, or is it on heaven? That treasure, the bread of life, is right here with us. No, Jesus is not walking the earth physically like he was in those days, but we have the physical bread of life, or the spiritual bread of life, right here with us in his word. It's right here in our Bibles waiting for each one of us to open and eat of it for ourselves. And like that plate of broccoli that you might not want to have in your meal today? You know it's good for you, but are you going to eat it? Are we going to open up these words of God and receive those blessings that are right there waiting for us? The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of this. He says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." The psalmist also says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We know it's good for us. We want to eat it. We should eat it. And yet, how often don't we go for days, maybe even weeks or even longer, without eating from this food that endures to eternal life? I know I wouldn't dream of going a day, much less weeks or even months, without physically eating food. We know what would happen to us. We would start to wither away. Our health would deteriorate. We would physically end up dying if we didn't eat. So what's going to happen to us if we aren't spiritually eating from the Word of God? We certainly are not going to get healthier and stronger spiritually. We are not going to grow closer to God or grow stronger in our faith. No, we're going to get weaker. Our faith will begin to deteriorate and shrink little by little. So what's the answer? The answer is to start eating. To continue eating. Just as daily nutrition is good and essential to maintaining our physical health, so feeding our souls on that bread of life is essential to maintaining good spiritual health. How is it that you think that our bodies began to have this craving for physical bread? How do we get that kind of craving? Well, we got it because we ate lots and lots of bread in the first place, right? Our bodies begin to expect it. They begin to crave it. In the same way, let's develop a healthy bread craving in a spiritual sense. Constantly feeding on Jesus, the bread of life. And the more that we read and spiritually digest that word of Christ, the more we'll crave it. The more our hunger will grow. And yet, there's a paradox here, isn't there? At the same time, Jesus promises us our hunger and thirst will be completely and forever satisfied. He says, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. And the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." So we'll crave more and more of this bread of life, but that bread of life also gives us complete and total spiritual satisfaction. How so? Well, when our starving souls hear from the very words of Jesus that He's the one who has washed our sins away by His blood, that His cross takes away all the guilt and shame that rests on our souls and our hearts, then our souls are truly filled and they are at rest. When our weary souls hear the very words of Jesus that because He lives, we will live with Him in eternity in the mansions that He is preparing for each one of us, then our hearts and our minds and our souls are truly content and they are at peace. When our own souls are fed the body and blood of Jesus, in and with that bread and wine in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of our sins, then our souls are truly satisfied. We are truly satisfied in Jesus through His Word and through the miracle of His sacrament. There's nothing else that we need to add to the spiritual meal that we've been given in Jesus. He is the bread of life. We are, as Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, complete in Him. We are completely saved and we are completely satisfied. May we never willingly put ourselves on a bread-free spiritual diet. May God give us His Spirit so that we always have bread cravings for Jesus, the bread of life, so that we may say with a sincere heart of faith, "Lord, give us this bread always." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.